Hello and welcome to The Inner Gamer, episode 143. We are your weekly dose of video game news, reviews, opinions, and discussions made for and by our listeners. My name is Brett Yanosky.
I'm Devin Dury.
I'm Awesome Rouse.
Today on The Inner Gamer, we're talking about the games we played last week. Well, demos, really. Austin dives into Battlefront 2. I play Project Octopath Traveler. In our video game news for this week, we have Super Mario Odyssey releases a new trailer. Some interesting things from the Xbox One X and what's inside. It's a secret. And then for our discussion topic today, it's going to be all about the evolution of video game difficulty. And with that, Brett, cue the music!
Hey guys, this is Troy Baker. You may know me from some of the games that Nolan North isn't in, or some of the games that he is, like Uncharted 4. The better looking Drake brother. It doesn't matter. The point is, you guys are listening to the Inner Gamer Podcast.
It is October 10th, 2017. Welcome to the Inner Gamer Podcast. If you guys like what you hear, please head on over to iTunes and leave us a review or tell a friend. Now let's talk about the games we played this week.
A lot of demos.
It's been demos. So, quick preface. I'm basically going to let these guys talk after I stop talking because I was at a concert at a music festival and I haven't played any video games this week. So, that happened. I was at Austin City Limits. I did see the Killers, though. That was really cool.
I got to listen to music.
Shut up.
I don't know why I'm being spiteful about that. I don't give a shit.
Anyway.
Because you were at work and had to work.
Yeah, it was awesome.
I did have to work. Yeah, fuck you.
I had to work, too. I had to come back to work today. It sucked. Oh. I was in Austin this morning, and now I'm here.
Yeah, I was like, did you go to... Anyway, we'll talk about that later. So, first game, Star Wars Battlefront 2, the beta.
Yes!
The beta! Austin,
so,
how is
first
it?
First off, it's much more improved than the last iteration that, DICE created. And I'm having fun with it.
Yeah.
The progression is more progression-y. Let me restate that. There's more progression in this game.
Yes.
So, which was a
big
issue for me.
Is it better progression? More progression is one thing,
well,
but is
I'm going
it
to tell you about the progression, and I want your opinion on it.
Okay.
Because I'm not completely sold.
Lay it on me.
So
Let me hear it. Throw it out there.
I watched Angry Joe, and he was having issues with this progression. And, I mean, it's basically like an iPhone game of some sort, you know?
Huh?
So wait,
you get
what?
Okay, you level up, right? And you get loot crates. Those loot crates give you...
Do you get coins that you can then use to, like, buy a house?
Or you can wait five minutes and then it'll finish itself? Wait. So...
Are you being the game right now? Each match that you play, wait?
Yes. You gotta pay him to tell us what it is. I can tell you what it is and explain it in great detail. Or if you pay me $5, I'll just give you a synopsis.
Yeah.
I'm waiting.
I'm not giving you
No, but for real, tell us.
All right, so you go in the game, you play, you rack up points, and you get credits as a currency in the game, kind of like experience.
Which is standard Star Wars.
Right.
So you use those credits to buy loot crates,
but you also rank up to buy loot crates. And when you open these loot crates, you are
this
able to...
This is all personal progression, right?
Yeah, this is your progression. So you get these star cards, like in the last game, but they come in various... I guess. I don't even know what I'm looking for. So they have
like categories.
I mean each class. So now they have classes in this game.
Right.
Has its own set of star cards that you can get.
Okay.
So you can rank. So instead of ranking up, I guess you can still do that. Man, this is really complicated. This is why I'm just like, what is going on here?
This sounds like Fortnite.
Yeah. Yeah, it seriously is. Okay, so you can get a card.
Is it like tiered level ups?
Yes. Okay, thank you. There's tiered cards. So you can get a bronze card, you can get a silver card, and you can get a gold card.
See how easy that was?
Gold cards all maxed out, right? It's a nice, awesome buff or whatever. And then you can stick it on your three slots.
Oh, so it's like three tiers of each card, basically.
So each level, or I think it's level... One, you get one star card, or once you get level two, and then level five, you get another star card you can have access to.
Okay.
So it's like three slots. As you level up, that class allows you to put more cards in.
The higher you level up, at least as far as quote-unquote levels, that gets you more slots, and then... that slots are where you place the tiered cards
exactly
for your perks.
There it is.
Interesting.
Boom. Okay. This guy got it.
Wait, nailed it, man.
How many slots can you get?
Here, can you put something in my mind and you can just talk for me?
The vernacular is full over here, man. I got you, brother. I got you.
So
I got
how many slots do you get?
You get three slots. Wow.
But you can add more.
No, you only get three
you
slots.
You only get three. But
your vernacular is broken.
I know.
Just kidding. You weren't listening.
No, I was listening. God.
Okay, so that being the case with at least the tier, are they...
In theory?
Are they decent level ups? Like, are they decent perks?
So this is where the gameplay kind of irks me a little bit. Some of them are good. Like, for the heroes, I've seen some of the hero upgrades. Great. Like,
okay.
There's one where once you max out Boba Fett's, like, jump jet, when you're in the air, you take no damage.
Oh, that's
you're just,
so hot.
You're just
going to
be...
Hot. Oh, it's so, I'm going to be Boba Fett forever.
Something like that. But the thing is you might not get that ever get that card. So you can also rank up your cards. I might be wrong on this, but you can rank up your cards by getting parts. You just get, parts. And you get those from loot crates that you get. But usually I was only getting like 10 or 20 at a time.
10 parts?
Yeah.
Okay.
So you can use those parts to buy new guns.
Okay.
Which they only had two guns for each class, so 600.
So rather than
buy
like
a new
money,
gun.
You use parts to buy things.
Yeah.
Okay.
But you use that money to buy the loot crates.
With parts to buy loot crates?
No. You buy the currency.
You use the currency
to get the loot crates.
With real money.
So now...
No. With the in-game money.
But you can also
The galactic
with real
credits.
Yes.
The Star Wars currency.
Right.
Yeah.
Thank you, credits.
So this is where we start to get into the big...
There's a huge circle here.
Huge bit of controversy around this pay to win now for the Star Wars Battlefront. I know I'm not a fan of this style of play because, your time play should be earned.
Yes. And it's there. It's there. It's just going to take a lot of time because you need 600 to buy a new gun if you can't get that star card. So you open a loot crate, and I actually got star card to get a new gun for my heavy class,
okay,
which is the machine gunner, light machine gun guy. And that was great. But now I have to wait. So when you unlock the new gun, there's three different attachments that you can put.
Oh, shit.
So there's like stability, a scope, and like, this one I could do an ion.
So we're talking like fractal level ups on fractal level ups on top of other fractal level ups.
So
Jesus.
Each one of those unlocks are 100 parts.
Shit.
Or you can find a star card that will unlock it for you.
So the last time when we played the first game, we were like, man, this game is too simple. It feels like an arcade game. Like there's nothing here. And now they
overcompensated.
Like overdid it.
Oh, too
and now
simple.
We're like, okay.
Too simple? Someone get me a mathematician and a chess genius.
Right. So if your opposite team has all these really have these gold star cards, you potentially could just be fucked.
Yeah.
Which,
so I remember
go ahead.
Yeah, well, I was gonna say the last game they had like regular star cards and they did have that one tier up star card. So
right.
Now there's three tiers.
Right.
Essentially.
But here's the thing: like, are these perks game breaking? Are they to the point where it's
The one for Boba Fett, yeah.
Yeah, well, okay, yeah, but that's Boba Fett. Like, but for, like, the standard rank-and-file soldiers that we're going to be playing, or droids, or whatever the hell we are, like, is this going to be game-breaking to the point where it's going to be annoying to just to pick up the fucking controller?
I think not.
Like, okay. Say you don't play for a month.
Okay.
And then you jump into this game.
Yeah.
Do you think the progression system that exists as you played now is going to make that person that hasn't played for a month who then jumps into
obsolete.
It have a disadvantage?
I don't know. That's the thing. Yeah. Like, I'm really weird on this gameplay right now.
Yeah.
Like, on one hand, you could be God with Boba Fett.
Right.
On the other hand, I'm trying to see, like, how it actually works in. Because some of the perks were cool. And, like,
right.
Cause, like, from a heavy assault, which is the one I have, like, all three tiers maxed out or three slots open. Like, I changed my grenade to an ion grenade. So now it just attacks shields and stuff. But I've had that, and it's a gold star card, so that means it's really good, right? But, like, it's mostly for shields and stuff, and I'm like, yeah, So the heavy guy has a shield, right?
Yeah,
so
yeah.
He's, like, the only one it really works on. So I have this really awesome grenade, but I feel like I couldn't really use it.
It's very situational.
Beta. Exactly.
It's very situational.
And I think
interesting.
This is where I kind of had the issue with it, because I thought it was kind of going to be like Battlefield in a way. like more like Battlefield.
I was kind of hoping that too.
And, you know, you can jump in there and you have, you know, enough gear to get through any situation
sure.
that you want to. Obviously, you know, the classes are there for a reason. So you play as a team. And the other thing is, so when you go in the game and you die, they throw you into a pre-match squad. So when you're loading in, you pick your class, you have four other guys that you're going to spawn in with. And it says that if you stick with these guys, you're going to get bonus XP. But they don't put really anything special, nothing clearly over their head to be like, that's my teammate. All of a sudden, scatter. Everyone just scatters.
Oh, shit. Okay.
Because when you're playing on the Naboo mat, you have two like sectional areas that go straight back that go to the main palace. If you're droids or if you're defending, you know, you're kind of facing the other way. So it's just kind of like, well, I want to go over here now. I don't want to go on this side. And it's just like, how do you manage this? Like, why isn't my friend green that I know I'm with him? And, you know, he's going, okay, fuck it. Just grud, attack.
Interesting. It sounds like it's going to be, maybe it is overcompensation, but it just sounds like it's going to be a lot more tactical than the first one was, where it was, like we were saying, very arcadey, and you just run, gun, blow shit up, and hopefully your team's decent enough to win.
Right.
Right.
Well, I mean, that could be a good thing. Could be a bad thing. I don't want to have a pay to win on my hands, but I'm loyal to Star Wars, so I'm going to give it a chance.
Yeah. And it's got a canon story.
It's got a canon story, and I'm loyal to Star Wars, and I'm going to play it.
So
we got that scale that's kind of... that's not really sure where it wants to land right now.
So
vehicles. I want to talk about that for a second. Because I heard to obtain vehicles, it's not done where you go run around and pick up a token anymore.
Nope.
But instead, there are points that are accumulated for your team.
That's not correct.
That's what they said on that's what I heard people say.
So, okay,
so how do you get a vehicle?
As you go around and you kill people,
right?
You gain points.
Right.
So like every kill, every shot, every damage you do, you gain points. And when you die, those points are accumulated into a pot that only you have.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, so you use your points that you've collected in the match to spawn the tanks, you know, the kind of more heavier armored guys like jetpack troopers.
Yeah, I heard somebody talk about like...
It was Charlie.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
So I was like, man, if that is true, that it is a cumulative thing, that kind of blows.
That's going to suck.
But so as you rank up, you can decide to get a ship who's slower.
I think that's going to be an advantage to have. Like, again, going off my tactics point, that could be a really good thing for teams that are really working together and knowing what strengths to play. Because, like, a pug group of just chaos and people run around like, I'm the one who's going to get the tank, and he just shoots his friends. I mean, that team's going to lose. But if you think about a well-oiled machine, you know who your best pilot is. Yeah. Brett, get your ass in the freaking X-Wing because you're going to be amazing at it. I mean, you're probably not going to be. But let's just say
I am, but yeah.
He's a dogfight guy.
Yeah.
We'll see.
Anyway, that's interesting.
But that could be a good like...
Yeah. It's good, but then it's bad at the same time because it's bad to me because I look back on games like Call of Duty where they have the kill streak system that as you get more kills, you get... things that can wreak more damage. And I feel like that creates an unbalance to where the players that are better than the other players basically just get further and further apart from the mediocre
widening
players.
Widening the gap of a chance of even winning.
Yeah. So
before I actually came here, I played with Travis, and we were able to succeed more in battles, just me and him, because we were able to communicate. So I would like to see like a 40-man team or a 20-man team.
Maybe this is like a really heavily pushed party game.
Like that would be amazing to see people. Because there's many times I was like, because they have officers as a class who give
Red leader standing by.
He gives you extra health for a short amount of time that quickly dwindles. And he put a turret down and he has like a stun grenade you can get as a star card, which I've been using. So I wish he'd be like, hey... we need to defend this position, you know, because you still don't have that where you can spawn on your squad leader from Battlefield. Cool. And it's like, that is key.
Yeah.
I hate spawning all the way back to a point and then you just have to run
the
up.
Standard
die
spawn
again.
Point and just running up to point X or whatever to get your ass shot again. That's annoying.
So last point I want to make on this gameplay is there's plenty of times where it's been one dude Because, you know, at the end of the round, they're like, here's the best, you know, assists, the most points, most killed, best streak.
All the post-game stats.
Like one dude. Just one fucking dude.
Jesus.
Multiple times. This last game that I played before I came over with Travis, Darth Maul. Most kill, 68 kills in a row.
Jesus.
86 kills total.
Jesus.
Wow. Most damage done. MVP. And there's only one other dude from our team.
That's crazy.
I forgot what he got. Like, maybe best assists.
I don't like it.
Yeah. And I'm just like, how? No, that's not cool. That is not cool.
Okay.
Like, yeah, yes, Darth Maul is a beast, but
yeah,
I was like,
Darth Maul's good, but
I don't like that where it's just one dude
Let's
getting
not
everything.
Suck the ghost of his dick too hard.
Right. I don't know.
All right. We'll find out. We'll give the final verdict when it's out.
I already bought it online. So,
before with all this conversation
I
we've
gave
had,
you all these back and forth,
I bought
and pros
it.
And cons,
I just want to say that
they have my money.
Wait, didn't you have to buy it to get the beta, or is it open now?
We can talk about that later. It's embarrassing. I bought it to get the beta, but I was too late to get the code to the beta, so I had to wait regardless.
Dumb.
And they took my money.
Oh
and
my
now I'm on
gosh!
The
fence. You dip.
Rule of thumb: wait till the game's out before you buy anything.
Oh shit! All right.
Yeah. Any questions? Is that good?
No, that's awesome, man. Very cool.
So, Devo.
Yeah. What's up?
You played a game.
Hell yeah, I did. I played a demo.
You played a demo.
I played a demo the same amount of time as one would play a normal game.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah. What? How many hours is that?
Shut up.
Yeah, so I'm curious because we've talked about Project Octopath Traveler, but now you've played it, and after having played it myself, I was like, this is a game for Devin. Is it a game for Devin?
Oh, it's 100% a game for Devin. Are you kidding me? This is 200% a game for Devin. Project Octopath Traveler, like the new Square Enix game. Stay tuned. Actually, not stay tuned. It's already out. My article's already out about this.
Yeah. Innergamer.net.
Innergamer.net/read. So Project Octopath Traveler is going to be the new Square Enix game, which, if anyone knows, they are famous for making all the Final Fantasies. And here we are with their newest title. It's not a Final Fantasy. It's called Octopath Traveler, or Project Octopath Traveler, in which case you play one of eight characters in this intertwining story in this great immersive world. And I have to tell you, I loved every bit of this
game. This is 8-bit, right?
It's 16-bit.
Okay, 16-bit.
16-bit. It's this, if you haven't seen it, the art style is very colorful, very anime in kind of a way, at least as far as like when you actually see the drawings of the actual characters you're playing. And
Great.
Yeah.
And I always love that. Okay, well.
Yeah, no, it's a great art style.
I want to mention something, but I feel like you're going to, I'll let you continue.
Yeah, that's cool. So the story, they only get to play two characters in the demo, and in that I can say that I have loved playing the two people that I have. It's very short, but you get to get a little bit of taste into what these characters' backgrounds are like and why they're out adventuring and what it is that they're trying to accomplish in this great overarching story. So the two characters you get to play, one female, one male. Male is a soldier. The female is this, she's titled a dancer, I guess is her class, but she casts dark magic and it's amazing.
I have not got that far.
Oh, cool. Man. She wrecks it with the magic. Wrecks it.
Interesting.
Wrecks it.
Wrecks it.
Wreck.
Sit.
Sit. the strengths that I'll hit right now. Really cool new combat style. It is turn-based in the standard JRPG style, so it's turn-based with some cool, unique new ways that you can get an advantage over your opponent or the monsters that you're fighting. Everybody has a weakness that you can exploit, whether it's they're weak to sword attacks, dagger attacks, fire, dark magic, whatever. The main character can alternate between a sword and a spear, and you kind of have to alternate them to whittle down characters to break their guard, because once their guard is broken, you get one turn to essentially deal whatever kind of special attack and crazy amount of damage you can do to them. And it's a really tactical game.
And I hate that.
I loved it. I fucking loved it, man.
He only hates
it
because he can't figure it out.
Did you not figure it out?
No, it took me a little bit to figure it out. But then once I figured it out, I was like, oh my gosh, I got one turn, and then the next round, like the boss guy, like he gets his 3 or 6 freaking guard damage things
he
back.
Gets, 6 shields.
Sucks. Now I gotta wield it down again.
That's why you gotta save up your attacks, whittle it down, spend the last 2 rounds of that buffing yourself, then whittle it down, and then deal out a massive.
I wish
attack.
They showed you a health bar.
Really?
Yeah, that always that tripped me up at first.
No, I want a health bar.
I love it. I love not knowing.
These guys ever going to die?
I love it. I love not knowing.
That's good.
That was
because you're sadistic like that.
I am. That's fine. You can call me sadistic with that. But it's a great combat system.
Yeah, it really is.
I'm very anxious to see what the rest of the characters are going to be like.
Yeah.
And waiting, because you only get to play with one character. So I can't wait till you actually get the party system involved and get to have all your different characters work together too.
Yeah, so do you think that's what they're going to... Oh, I haven't read much about it, but like I saw that there's all those different characters. I know all those stories intertwine in some way, which is very intriguing
to me.
There
has to be a party system involved. Yeah. I can't see some of these battles.
What if there's couch co-op?
Oh, yeah.
Dude, don't make me get a giant nerd.
I mean, it's Switch, so
boner.
It's possible. You guys are weird.
It's so weird. Don't rub it there. The only like really unique thing I would say about like the standards that harken back to the old style as well as the new is you still have text boxes, which in a way is a weakness, but at the same time, they've also integrated actual voice acting over the dialogue and the cutscenes, as well as in the normal game. If you actually talk to people, they'll say it's just some normal things. Like if the text box says, "Oh, what a great hero! I can't believe I got a chance to meet you," the character will actually have a voice actor say, "Oh my goodness!" So it adds a little bit of cool flair to your interaction with the NPCs.
Yes.
Shut up. You're making it weird. You're making it weird.
It's already weird.
So,
I can't really think of any two like major weaknesses that I would say with it. Other than I wish
it's not out right now.
One, it's not out. Two, I wish I would have gotten to explore the party system if there is going to be a party system, and for being a demo, as long as it is, like you get to level up all the way to level 15. That's your cap. But you don't get to get a whole lot of gear and or loot stuff. So I would have liked to have been able to explore more of that. But we're going to have to wait for the full game.
Right.
Right. Which we don't even know what it's going to be called yet.
We don't even know what the actual title is.
I like that name, honestly.
Oh, Project Octopath Traveler?
Yeah.
That is such a Square Enix title name.
Knockoff Project, obviously. Yeah. Octopath Traveler. I mean, how many characters did you say there were?
Eight.
Eight
characters.
Eight path characters.
It makes sense.
Yeah. Well, that's it's just shitty so name cool, now I think like, about it.
Sorry. I like it. Call me trash all you want, but I like it.
It's like Dark Souls. What a terrible name. Dark Souls.
You're not even trolling well at this point. You're just like saying Dark Souls in a derogatory way just to get me.
I hate you. I hate you.
Oh.
So is this going to... I mean, how do you think it's going to be a Final Fantasy game?
I don't. I don't think this is going to be titled anything Final Fantasy. If I'd equate it to anything, I'd think it's more of a free-form Final Fantasy Tactics. If I could give any sort of resemblance to anything in that Final Fantasy realm, it would be close to Final Fantasy Tactics on the original PS1.
Sweet.
But it's still freaking amazing. I had a blast. If you have a Switch, pick up the demo. It is free. Just give it a play. It's not... I would say that it's not long. I have played it a long time.
No, I put like 5 hours into it, and I know you've done more, clearly.
15.
What?
Sorry.
How?
I can't help it.
Did you replay it? Like maybe 10 times?
I replayed the Oberic. I played him twice. And the female, I am in the second playthrough with her. So.
Okay. That's not bad.
Yeah.
Make sure you didn't miss
crazy.
Anything.
Yeah.
Maybe you like find a hidden chest or something.
Dude, I don't get it. I'm going to explore the shit out of this.
So. Yeah. Well... That's going to wrap up our games this week because Devin's got to go and play his third playthrough of Project Unpacked Traveler.
I'll be right back. I'll go get my Switch.
Yeah, he'll be right back. We are going to come right back with our video game news. So stay tuned and we'll be back after the break.
You're listening to The Inner Gamer.
Welcome back. It's time for our video game news. In this segment, we share the best headlines from the week in the gaming industry. First up on the docket this week, we have Star Wars Battlefront 2. Not the one that's coming out in November, but the one that came out before, back in the day.
On the PlayStation 2.
On the PlayStation 2. Has gotten its multiplayer restored thanks to Disney. Disney was like, hey, we're just going to make this available. So if you have it, and you want to play it, you can go back and play it now.
So what are the odds that they just flicked on a Switch instead of devoting some sort amount of resources to make this happen?
Man, I don't know. I can't imagine anybody asking for this, but at the same time, whatever. It's cool. Glad you did it, I guess.
I mean, people are playing it. I think people are excited about it. So that's cool. Because it was a really popular game.
People loved it.
Yeah, no, like,
it was good.
Hey,
it was good.
It's exciting.
Yep, yep.
So now you can draft your favorite people and play that game. So it's pretty awesome. I know. I'm glad that you guys have all that exciting input to share in that conversation.
Hooray for
yeah.
a game that's very old.
Well then, Stardew Valley. It came out on the Switch last week.
You bought it? You might buy it?
I haven't bought it yet.
I already have it on my PS4, so I'm good.
Yeah, but you could buy it again and have it portable.
Yeah, but you could buy it again.
And take it with you.
That's what they want you to do.
That's true. That's
exactly.
True. I could have it with me
if
I needed it.
Only system where you would buy it a second time because you can take it with you anywhere. Anyway, the creator of Stardew Valley, Eric Barone, discussed his next game on a Reddit AMA. And he said that this next game is going to basically take place inside the world of Stardew Valley. So it's going to be on the same planet, actually.
That's cool.
And it intends to explore some of the lore that he fleshed out in his mind, but it did not yet include in Stardew. And he's also learning from his work on Stardew, such as that he took a softer approach to follow the tradition established by his inspiration, Harvest Moon, and this time he's going to take bigger risks in developing the next project. So he wants to go all out with his ideas, take things to the extreme, create an even richer, more detailed game world, and delight players with continuous handcrafted experiences. Now, this is coming from a guy who literally made this game on his own. Mm-hmm. And he wants to take it
100% by himself,
a step above what he already created. It's ballsy.
What,
full 3D.
I mean, this guy's obviously very talented and obviously very successful with what he's done so far with, you know, just Stardew Valley in general, as in depth as it is. I mean, Luisa sunk how many hours into this game?
Well over probably 80 at this point, maybe 100.
Yeah.
80? What? No, it's got to be like up there with Rocket League.
Oh, his Rocket League numbers are probably way out.
Which I still see him playing to this day. Yeah. I was like, dude, it's so old now.
But it's good. It's an awesome game. I want to go back and play.
Anyways, it's a popular franchise. So
yeah.
For him to take on something else now that's going to be further in depth into the world.
Right.
I mean, that's it. He's going to print money, man. He's just going to print money. And I think it's more to the point, I think it's a product he can be proud of.
Right. Well, that's good. I hope it does well for him. He said that he doesn't like to get too much hype going on. So he's not going to say what it is or anything about that. He just said that he prefers to work in an isolated bubble. So that is what's happening. So next story we have is Super Mario Odyssey.
Yes!
Coming out October 27th, which is not very far from now.
I'm already broke.
They brought out trailer.
Devin, yeah, you want a kidney?
You want a kidney?
I don't need one. Unless I give mine away, in which case I'll take yours. He's been shanked.
Here, take my kidney. It's gonna cost you about three. How much is a kidney?
I don't know.
I don't know.
$5,000.
You're a paramedic. You
Someone
should have
listening,
the answers.
Please comment with the market value of a kidney. A healthy not bourbon-ridden kidney.
This sounds like a quest in The Escapist, too.
Don't mention
like,
that.
All right, let's find kidneys and shanks and figure out how to escape prison.
What, did you say That's Destiny? Weird.
No, The Escapist,
oh,
too.
Oh.
Yeah.
When you said shank, I just went straight to Destiny.
So back to the conversation with Super Mario Odyssey.
Yes.
So there's a new trailer that came out, and it's really funny when Nintendo releases trailers because I feel like they overly like detail out these experiences. Like typically trailers from the West are like very cinematic and explosions, this and that.
Michael Bay.
And then and then whenever like Super Mario brings out their trailer, it's like, here is the world. Here is the things you can do in the world. Number one, you can do this, and you can jump across things. And number two, you can buy these things from the clothes shop.
Standard motion controls. up is down. Sorry. But
you know what? That's kind of standard with Nintendo. I mean, hell, look at the time when you and me watched the Switch reveal.
Oh, yeah.
And how they went through like details of how you can hold the Switch controllers. Like, this is just standard Nintendo's way to market is the product speaks for itself. Like, we already know that we're going to buy this. Now they're just going to go through and show people who maybe aren't familiar with it the ins and outs and further details of Super Mario Odyssey, which for us, it just gives us a giant Mario boner.
Yeah. I'm sure you can
if
buy
you
that.
You have
next
one
shop.
Already.
That's funny.
Mario shaped boner like a Mario dildo?
Yeah.
Yeah. Why not?
Yeah, because now he's
you
a
do
cannon.
Anything you want.
And now he's a giant missile, so you just.
Oh, let's move on. This got weird.
Wow.
It got weird real
it's
quick.
It got weird
in here.
Several times in this podcast. But watching the trailer, the trailer was like, 5 or 6 minutes long?
Yeah,
and they broke down everything. And some of the things that I thought were really interesting was the fact that there is going to be a two-player mode in which one person can play as Super Mario and one person can play as Cappy. And that's pretty exciting. So there's some good stuff coming. And all the clothes can be changed out, as we talked about before. And Cappy literally controls all of it.
You know what's funny?
What?
Correct me if I'm wrong, but I didn't see any motion controls in that trailer.
No, I don't think there is any motion controls.
I like that.
Yeah.
I'm fine with that.
Keeping it simple.
Yeah, I'm fine with that.
I like how, because Dragon Ball Z Xenoverse 2 came out, and I did buy that. They have the weird motion control thing where you can do like a Kamehameha.
Oh, that's like they did that with Street Fighter.
Switch controllers? What? No, yes. Absolutely not.
Or Street Fighter.
They did Street Fighter where you can do the Hadouken, yeah.
Just like,
no.
And all you do is just sit there and just like, you have three move sets and you just, Hadouken! Hadouken! And there's just got like skies that just come after you and just keep doing the same motion over and over again. It's like, let's just keep throwing. If you could see me right now, I'm throwing my arms forward and back. And
you don't want to
it's
see
just,
that.
It's
you
just,
don't want
yeah.
It. You don't want it.
It's terrible.
All right, move it on.
All right, so Xbox One X, it's coming out in November.
Oh,
Austin, are you buying one?
Hell no, I'm not.
Devin, are you buying one?
The first on the list for things of electronics to get for this holiday season is going to be the 4K TV. That's first on the list. But believe me, the Xbox One X is right behind it.
That was going to be a PC.
Dude, I've got to get a 4K TV. I can't just keep sitting here with like.
He can't play Destiny without 4K.
Do you have a? You don't have a Pro, do you?
Oh yeah, he's going to get a Pro too, or an Xbox One X.
I gotta get the TV first. Not only that, but I hate to admit it, but my HD TV is starting to.
Oh no. I'm very happy for
it's
you.
Older. It's an older TV, so it's about time to retire.
So I asked that question, who's getting an Xbox? And I want to know, who's a Halo fan? Yeah? Uh-huh. Yeah? Austin? Uh-huh. Yeah, Austin?
Why are you looking at
Don't
me,
deny
bro?
It. Don't
you
deny it.
No.
You know you're a Halo fan.
I'm looking
if
away.
If you, Austin, buy an Xbox One X, Austin, you can get a Master Chief riding a fucking Scorpion.
No way.
On your motherboard inside the
Sold.
Thing.
Sold. I'm buying it. I'm buying it now. I just need to do it one more time.
I had to do that.
You gotta do it right in the
That
mic.
Was amazing. That was actually very good.
Master Chief on your Xbox!
Anyways. On a Scorpion!
I'm not gonna lie, that's stupid.
It's quite stupid.
If this is a selling point, they have failed miserably.
I know, it's not a selling point, it's just a surprise.
Well, like, it's not even a surprise. I told everybody.
People would have figured it out and leaked it. So rather than getting it leaked, let's just, you know, throw it out there and let, you know, let it. By the way, I don't know if they put this out. I think this was discovered.
By the way, don't break your warranties, but there's a Halo inside.
Yeah,
there's a Master Chief inside.
It looks pretty badass, though. I mean,
I guess.
That's cool. It's like a reference to the Project Scorpio name, you know? It's cool.
Whatever.
With the only product that was ever successful in Microsoft.
I don't give a shit.
Sorry.
Well, give a shit about...
If we can make it one fucking year without riding the coattails of Master Chief, it will be a fucking grand year.
I mean, this have
I'm sorry. The man is tired. How many times can he be plunged into the depths of space going, if you need me, wake me, and just askew him taking his helmet off just in time so we can't see... Shut up! You're done. You've done it. You've saved the fucking galaxy. No one gives a shit about the Halos anymore. They're done.
So Microsoft has them in a closet somewhere with a chain. When they need them, they just roll them out. All right, Chief, one more time.
One more time.
No more.
I keep trying to get out of the game and they keep pulling me back in. Anyways, let's move on.
What's wrong with us today?
I don't know. I'm very bitter about this for some reason.
So you can make your own Master Chief in this game that's out by the same creators called Destiny, made by Bungie. Yeah. So you can basically be Master Chief in there if you want, if you're a Titan, and you can get all this armor that makes you look like Master Chief.
Oh, right. Titan? Well, you mean the most favorited class of any fucking classes in Destiny ever?
Yeah.
The ones who get basically all the special treatment?
It's because it looks like Master Chief.
That's me.
Whatever.
You're the worst.
I know.
So Iron Banner is coming back.
Iron Banner, man, it's time. Level up that shit. Get your light level up, son.
Well, so your fighting abilities, not your power level, will decide the outcome
in the
Iron Banner.
Why are they samurais?
What do you mean, why are they samurais?
They're samurais.
Because they're awesome.
Does the Iron Banner go samurai?
I don't know, man. I mean,
yeah,
it does
look like samurai,
it does
doesn't
cool.
it?
I'm just saying
that's pretty crazy.
That's
so it's different now. So in the game, level advantages were enabled in the mode. So if one player was light level 240, another was 280, the 280 Guardian would do more damage to the first. That's not the case now. All that matters in a head-to-head battle is each player's skill level, not their Guardian's power. Sounds like Bungie wanted to bring that same level playing field to the Iron Banner in Destiny 2. So that's happening. So no more level to make you better. It's your abilities to fight.
Yeah.
So my question is, what is the main differences here between Iron Banner and standard PvP? Like when we say fighting abilities, are we talking like just your skills? Like your not skills that you have in your
Everyone's
setup,
Master
but like
Chief.
Your ability.
No one is Master Chief.
To be good.
I think that it's going to be like the perks and shit and kind of stuff that affects your character. So like if you get a bonus to like your speed or your
Oh, like your
and
weapon
like, yeah.
perks
the
and
weapon
things of
perks
that
and
nature.
Shit
that okay.
Can get back on you. Not so much it is as the light level.
Right. So basically it's not just like cut and dry. We're like if you're a 240 character and then there's a 280, but the 240 character may have like some kind
shit
of plus damage
yeah, well, he's got
percentage.
Like, yeah, he's got
he won't be out
major
numb,
perks
outmatched.
To his armor. He's going to be tough as shit to kill.
Got it.
I hope that's what it is. Anyways, yeah, because that'd be cool.
So you also get engrams. You also get engrams. So it'll be just like the other ones where you get tokens by playing the Iron Banner, and then
tokens.
You can use it to get engrams later on. And the banner, the armor. Looks pretty cool. Like Austin said, it looks like
very,
samurai
very,
stuff.
Very Eastern warrior themed.
And then the raid is going to get an update with the prestige version of the raid that was supposed to have already come out, but it has not because of the exploit that has come out in the raid in which you can basically gamify the final boss battle. What is it? Cheese. You can
cheese the final boss.
You can cheese the final boss.
How do you do that?
I don't know. I don't watch. I haven't watched
it. Did you read it yet?
No.
There's some kind of thing that you can do in a series of things to make a thing happen.
Oh.
And the guy just falls off the ledge.
What great reporting.
No, that was the other one, wasn't it?
That was the other one.
Yeah, that was the other one. I don't know. There's something that happens that it causes. I think it's something with the menus. Like you go into the menu and everybody has to time it at the exact right moment and go to the changed character loadout screen, like change to another character in the game. Shit? And then what happens is they then will load back in that final boss battle and all the enemies won't spawn. So they can just go and finish it out and not have to fight all the chaos that happens in the last part. Anyway, it's an exploit, so they're going to fix it before Prestige Mode comes out. And now it's coming out October 18th. So that's happening with Destiny.
Cool.
There you go.
Good old Destiny.
Last thing we have. Austin, you want to talk about this?
Go for it.
Okay. So Hellblade, Senua's Sacrifice. That was a game that Austin reviewed on this podcast months ago, I guess, or weeks ago, last month, something like that. It's a game that deals with mental illness, I guess,
psychosis
and things of that nature. So Hellblade, the creators of Hellblade are in Ninja Theory, are going to be giving back to help support people with mental illness and things of that nature. So on World Mental Health Day, if you buy the game, they will donate the proceeds, all of the proceeds, to charity. So this is October 10th, which is as you're listening to this podcast. So if you're listening right now and you've been wanting to get Hellblade, go out right now and buy this game, because you will be donating all of that money to help people with mental illnesses.
That's awesome.
Really cool.
Yeah. Because really cool. Shadow War, one of their main people passed away. And they made him into an ogre in Shadow War that you can buy as downloadable content.
Oh, really?
But the family is only going to get 40% of the proceeds.
What the shit?
Yeah, something like that. Like, some ridiculous, like, why aren't they getting all of it? But this is cool that they're going to basically eat this money and actually try to help people.
Well, you know what? They're good on them. Yeah. Because seeing the industry do something like this to really help people out in need, I love seeing this more and more.
Yeah. I mean, just like we saw in Game to Grow.
With the guys from Game to Grow. You know, this is our industry doing what it should be doing to show that we are a serious industry to be not just taken with a grain of salt and seen as a toy, that we can actually contribute to society. So this is really uplifting to see.
Yeah, that's super cool. I'm going to buy it tomorrow. Or today, as you listen to this, because I've been wanting to play it anyway. So
perfect. Yeah, same. I need to get it.
I'm excited. So
our money will be put to good.
To good use, doing Paylor's work,
doing Paylor's work.
There we go.
Good on you, Brett.
I remember, man.
Look at you.
It's coming
back. Hopefully, you can remember shit in my game now.
What? Dark Souls.
I hate you so much.
Oh, you mean that guy that tried to kill us in that game? What's that place called? Jarl Lime? Like, yeah.
So that's it for news.
Go to break before I beat you to fucking death with this bottle of Topo Chico.
That's it for our news this week. If there's something that we missed, or if you forgot something from Devin's story in Dungeons & Dragons, you can let us know at HelloTinaGamer.net. We are going to come right back after this break with a discussion topic on video games that I'm not going to tell you what it is, because you just have to wait and come back in 5 seconds.
You're listening to The Inner Gamer.
It just won't go away.
So there. This discussion topic
is on the evolution of video game difficulty.
Ooh.
So we figured this would be an interesting discussion, because a couple weeks ago, or actually last week, the SNES Classic came out, the Super Nintendo Classic.
Sounds like a drug.
I know it does.
SNES came out.
Yeah.
SNES
came out. I was playing these old games like Donkey Kong Country and Star Fox and things of that nature, and I realized something. I was like, man, they don't tell you how to play. You don't get shit at all. So I want to talk about how this has changed over the years. So back in the day, games had just come out. They didn't really know what they were going to become, where they were going to go. So we've seen a lot of evolution of that over the years. And now, I mean, every game comes with tutorials. It comes with difficulty settings sometimes. Like, there's all these things added in to cater to different types of players, right? So let's talk about the early games. Way back when.
I'd have to say
tell
that.
Tell me.
Well, I'd have to say that for
Pokemon.
Old games, like, I harken back to my old days of going to arcades.
Pong.
It's a real game.
I harken back to an arcade, and this is where difficulty came in. The games were difficult, and yes, you could learn how to play them, and yes, some of them came with a tutorial or a not tutorial, but the difficulty came in your lack of lives.
Yeah.
Your lives came from your funds, so...
That's true, yeah.
I mean, if you think about it, let's pick one that the three of us have played together before, the Simpsons arcade game.
Yeah.
How hard is that game?
The worst.
Very hard.
Ridiculous.
It wasn't until it was free to play all the way through we actually beat it. I'd never beat it in my life. I'd go to CeCe's all the time.
I would have lost so much money otherwise. Yeah.
And I actually think a lot of like my early on video game skills came from my love of just playing arcade games. And I only was given a very moderate allowance to play arcade games, so I had to learn how to get good at playing video games quickly. Because I had to enjoy, I'm not just going to waste a quarter on some shit that I'm going to lose at really quickly. I'm going to get good at it so I can enjoy the full game.
You want to play those shooting games where you shoot the guys and they don't
die? Let me tell you what sunk a lot of my quarters back in the day was Metal Slug. One of my absolutely favorite side-scrolling shooters. And I wasted a lot of money.
You know what's funny? I just realized we talk about microtransactions being a thing now. The arcade was the original microtransaction.
Holy shit.
It's true.
You had to pay to win.
Mm-hmm.
Had to pay literally. It's crazy.
So now we can't bitch, huh?
We can, I guess. I guess not.
It was grandfathered in.
It was grandfathered in. But yeah, so... So I played Donkey Kong Country. Haven't played it in centuries. And
damn.
Whole centuries.
Yeah. Probably not centuries, I guess, but you know.
Decade?
Way before the French Revolution. Continue.
Well, you know, yeah.
Go
yeah.
on.
Yeah. Decades. I mean, the donkeys, man. Oh, not donkeys.
They're donkeys, yes.
Yes, they're fucking donkeys.
This podcast, what is. Words. Tonight. I don't understand anymore. Yes.
So Donkey Kong.
Like, yeah, how long? Donkey like Kong. How? Like okay. When you first got Donkey Kong Country?
Yeah, I never actually owned it.
You never did.
I never owned a Super Nintendo. I used to play it at friends' houses.
Okay, so here my point with this, where I'm going with this is like when you played it, did you look at the instruction manual?
They had those things?
They did, actually. Surprisingly, they did.
That was your tutorial.
Yeah.
I mean, when I think about games that I played or when I first got like my home console system, my first NES, games you bought, yeah, you didn't have a tutorial. It was because on the way home of your mom buying the game for you and you driving home.
You were reading the instruction manual.
You were cracking that shit open and reading the instruction manual and going, okay, got it.
Press A to jump. Press B to
no, hey, and even that, what's even, this is really going to date me. Every single ending, like the last two pages of any instruction manual out there, and people out there can attest to this, they had a notes page.
Oh, yeah.
Like the last two That's pages right. of like, if That's you think right. of like the original Legend of Zelda, the very first Legend of Zelda, you had like the last two pages were dedicated mm-hmm. for notes. So if like you got lost, which everyone fucking did, you could take notes going, okay, to get through the magical forest, you go up, left, left, down, left, up, left, left, right. Right, left, up, right, and then you have to kill 17,000 ghosts.
Remember when they started, you know, they started taking the manuals out of the thing, and yeah. it was basically like, here's just advertisements for other right. games yeah. instead of actual manuals.
Yeah,
and now it's just
I
a
miss
license
disclosure. Yeah.
Don't burn this disc onto another disc.
Yeah, it's kind of sad.
It is. No, I remember when it started getting smaller yeah. and smaller.
Yeah.
And smaller.
I really liked it. It was kind of a point of pride of just all the different video games I had where I actually was able to maintain the instruction manual in it. Like it was like a full set. Like that was the thing. It wasn't just the little the cartridge. It was everything. It was the box that it came in. It was the little sleeve that it could slide into, and the instruction manual that came along with it. Man, that right. was, I loved that.
Anybody rent them from Blockbuster, and the thing would just be all fucked.
Oh, it was gross.
Or it had like Zelda had just dicks drawn all over it. I don't know, but
never had that happen. I don't know what you're buying.
You didn't shop at the video store. I don't know. But I mean, going to another game that was very much like that, at least as far as difficulty goes, was if we go to the Super Nintendo, we had the very first Star Fox.
Yes.
Now, that was like one of the hardest games I had played in my adolescence up until like that point. Like I had gone through some Final Fantasies. I had played some Castlevanias. I had played a lot, but it was when I got to Star Fox that I was like, holy shit, like you are really testing my patience here. Because you had an instruction manual, but you also had your first tutorial where you could learn how to do all the maneuvers.
I did that tutorial. I had to play the tutorial in order to unlock Star Fox 2, and I couldn't play the flipping tutorial.
Yeah.
Because it was like,
couldn't beat it.
I was barrel rolling and I couldn't move fast enough because it was so laggy.
You had to fly in formation.
Oh, yeah. No, that was so bad.
And the silhouette of you supposed to be in there, and you're like, okay, let's do it, guys. And like, barrel roll. Oh, fuck. Barrel roll. Oh, fuck.
I feel like you literally have to like write the buttons down to like get the right
stuff. And then the game like mocks you, like, you have to sync along with your fighters. You're like, fuck you, game. I'm trying. Do a barrel roll. You do a barrel roll. So,
stupid rabbit. Stupid fucking rabbit. Tricks are for kids.
But, I mean, going back to it, like games like this, this is where like I think this is a testament to the industry aging with us, is because we had to get better with the industry, and the industry had to get better with us. So we started to see more forgiving games that came out with more tutorials.
Would you say that they just kind of, I feel like they just want to jump in and play. Like, we don't have the attention span to be like, okay, let's see.
Well, and I think there was a transition between arcade to a home entertainment system.
True.
And,
true.
You know, because arcades, there's...
We got standards now.
Yeah. Well, and again, you go back to the arcade, there was the tutorial was what was ever was on the fucking control pad in front of you. It could tell you like, okay, this button shoots, this button's kick, this button's jump, whatever. Right, here's your joystick. Here's how you do shit. And there's maybe...
It's like nearly falling off.
Yeah. When you may, like, depending if it was a fighter game, it may show you some move sets down there at the bottom, but it wasn't a whole lot. And you just dove in and played.
Right.
And I think there was a transition from that going to the home system where they tried to just basically... make it the same way, and we couldn't have that.
Well, you know, it's kind of like with fighter games back in the arcade days. You would have here's your like high kick, low kick, medium kick, or whatever. They had like the different levels of punch or kick that you had, and then the combos you basically figured out on your own. Like, there wasn't a move list you could open up in your menu like you have with Injustice.
You could just hit pause and just go look up the fucking list.
Yeah. So that's changed quite a bit.
A lot.
I think one thing we can speak on is the internet has made getting through games a lot easier mm-hmm. than before. I remember when I have to ask friends, like, dude, I can't beat this. It's like, what? You can't beat this? You just got to do this? Blah, blah, blah. I'm like, what the fuck?
I actually remember getting grounded because I got lost in the Lost Woods in Zelda, and I called Nintendo Power's hotline to get through it. And my mom was pissed when there was a bit of a bill.
The fact that there is a Nintendo Power hotline just baffles me.
Shut up.
No, I think this is funny.
Yeah,
that's awesome.
Yeah.
So have you guys ever seen the show The Goldbergs or whatever on Hulu?
I never watched it, but I've
never seen it, but I was watching a little bit of it this weekend. It was funny because there's the show's about this kid who narrates his family, and it's actually based on real life events that happened in the 80s with the creator of the show's family. So he has like home footage of these actual characters that he's showing in here, they were actually real people, and these are actual stories of what happened in his life. But anyway, the kid in the show was playing the original NES. He was playing the first Legend of Zelda. And, you know, like back then, there was no such thing as a save or whatever. It was just, you had to play the game and leave that shit on. So he was at the very last part. He was about to finish the game. And he was like, oh my gosh. I've been playing this for 6 months. I gotta stop. I gotta get my camera. I gotta record this moment. It's gonna be so good. So he puts his controller down. He like tells his mom, like, don't let anybody come in here. And he runs to go grab his camera. And his brother comes in and is like, ooh, what's this? And he sits down and he's been having like a lucky streak, supposedly, like, lucky. So he sits down, he moves the character forward. Congratulations, you just won Zelda. And it shows up, and the kid comes running back out, and he's like, what did you do? My life, I hate you, you're dead to me. It was the funniest thing ever.
I have a story like that.
Yeah.
Star Fox 64. That Star Fox behind
right
you.
There.
I was having the worst time with it. I finally got to Andross at the very end. Now, I don't know how many times I played this, but I remember I was in my parents' bedroom playing on their TV, and when I won, I jumped on that bed, and I was like, yeah, yeah. My dad was on an important phone call. My mom comes running in. She's like, shut up. This is like, I've never been happier, like more happy in a game. Because I never thought I was going to ever beat this
game. That
game
was
like,
hard.
Like
that game was really hard.
As a kid,
hard.
You know, you don't.
Yeah.
You play these things and they're fun, but at a certain
they were
point,
major achievements to beat some of these.
Yes,
games.
Yes.
They were milestones to beat them. Like some of the Mega Man 2, amazing game, super hard. Did you make it to the very end?
So, what do you think changed that? Do you think it's that like the enjoyment and excitement of finishing a game? I feel like isn't as much of an achievement as it used to be. Do you think it's that games have gotten easier, or do you think it's that there's choices for us that we're like, okay, I'm done. Let's move on to the next one.
Well, I think expectations obviously have changed over time. And then you have the invention of the smartphone and the internet. And so attention spans have changed. So now we see all the achievements, and then you can get, you know, on PlayStation, you get that platinum thing, which I don't understand what that means. Why people go for these achievement things.
Yeah, platinum that shit, man.
I mean, it's achievements.
Platinum trophy, man.
Achievements are in everything. Like, even on Steam, like, people trade achievement cards. Like, what the... Not to get off on a tangent.
No, I think there's something to that, because I think the expectation of what it was to play a video game has substantially changed.
Right.
Because we've aged with this industry. So at first, it was just a testament to... You're playing an Italian plumber save the princess from the Koopa.
Yeah.
You know? And we've aged with that, so now...
what a way to pitch a game.
I mean, you're an Italian plumber, and you're saving some broad from a giant lizard dude. I don't know. Is it good? You want money for that?
Sorry.
Yes.
Yeah, I do. And...
kids will love this. Sorry. Love I'm it. Sorry.
we've changed now because we've aged with this industry, so it morphed into you're a band of animals who fly these amazing starships and take down an evil warlord Andross evildoer, and then we've progressed forward, and now it's actually to the point where you're saving the universe from impending doom with Final Fantasy, and you're playing with a band of right. troubled heroes, or, you know, even going so far as now we're to the point we're at now, where we have these amazing cinematic narratives being told in these amazing stories like Uncharted Drake's Fortune, and they're wildly different games with wildly different difficulties in them. I think that's because we've progressed along with the industry, and kind of as you said, there's a lot of factors in there, whether it's the introduction of the internet or it's the just the technological advances that we've just made in general. They have just made it to where what is defined as difficulty has also changed.
So I know we've had a story, like, correct me if I'm wrong, like, we had stories in these games, right? But would you say like they're like, I mean, I would say Zelda, yeah, it's probably like a big part of that as a story, but it's kind of like just there to play a game in the sense. And now, yeah. Like, I feel like we've come to the point with all the cinematics. It's like, you know, let's not have this huge barrier of entry like Dark Souls, where you, but more like Hellblade, where you can just kind of jump in and like follow this character and be moved, you know, like.
Yeah,
not having the difficulty affect
like
your experience of the story.
I mean, walking simulators where you're just literally watching a story, like in was it Everyone's Gotten a Rapture?
Yeah,
you know, that's different.
I mean, that's how I play games a lot. Is if I want to play the game for the story, I'll put on easier, regular,
right,
or whatever, so I can just not be challenged and die a billion times and just finish it. But I don't know. I mean, how do you feel about that, Devin? Because you're a difficulty fan.
Yeah.
So
we haven't even touched Dark Souls.
Yeah.
What's going on?
We don't have to yet.
No,
we don't.
We've talked about that enough. Yeah.
Fuck off.
It's done.
I mean, I personally am a difficulty junkie when it comes to video games. And I think a part of that is because I do like the, I hate even using the phrase, but I love the achievement aspect of it. I don't necessarily hunt for the achievement banner when I play video games, but I do play difficult games for the satisfaction of knowing that my skill level is rewarded for the effort that I put in.
Right, right.
Yeah.
I mean, in the God of War series, one of my absolute favorite video game franchises of all time, I played that thing on God mode or Titan mode, depending on which game you play. I've played that on the hardest setting possible just because I loved playing Kratos in an incredibly difficult setting with limited health orbs around. I loved it. I relished that shit.
Did you get through now, that?
Yeah.
Question. When you play a game like that,
took me a long time.
Yeah.
When you play a game like that, is that your first playthrough playing that level of difficulty, or do you start it like easy, like regular or whatever, just to get through the story and understand the gameplay, and then you go back and put it on the hard mode?
I would sound like a narcissist. I put it on hard
right at the beginning.
On any game I can, I will always play it on hard. The first time I played Arkham Asylum, Batman Arkham Asylum,
yeah,
I put it on hard difficulty because I did not want the telegraphed thing that the bad guys would have when they're about to hit you. I did not want that. I wanted to be able to time it myself just by visual cues.
Have you ever done the thing where you're playing it? Because remember, so there used to be a time where I would play a game and I'd be like, man, this game is so easy. And then I get to a point where it got harder and harder and harder. I was like, oh my gosh, I can't beat this. I'm so mad. I would just play it and play it and play it. Finally, I get past it or whatever. But then they added this thing where you can change your difficulty on the fly.
Yeah.
And
Dante, Devil May Cry,
yeah.
Devil May Cry, God of War. I'm sure there are some others. Some of the Metal Gear Solid game. There are just some times when, like, if you die a certain number of times, the game's going to go,
you suck. Let's turn it down.
You need some help.
Mario Rabbids does that. I'm playing that.
Yeah.
And I'm just like, they're like, oh, do you want to do it easy mode? I'm like,
oh,
no,
yeah,
I don't want to do it easy mode. This is
you
Mario.
Feel insulted.
This is Mario Rabbids. Like, I'm
well,
not going to let
this
game defeat me.
Is easy mode really isn't much easier.
What? It's like, yeah, you get like 50% back of your health. I got in where like Mario had like 10 health, and I worked it around. It's crazy. But I will not let that game defeat me.
That's funny.
In other games, I'd be like, yeah, I'm going to do it easy mode. I just want to get through this.
Right.
I mean, the whole point of it is.
So do you start on normal difficulty, or do you start the game from easy and then move your way up?
I start normal, and then I'll, if it gets out of control, then I'll drop it down to easy if I have to. I'd never play a game on hard or
higher.
I think one of my
favorite like translations of this is when I was playing a PC when I was a young teenage boy. There was the Aliens versus Predator 2.
Yeah.
And you could play it on easy, in which case the motion tracker was like a full 360, or you could put it on like on hard and it was just a tiny little wedge and you'd have to turn to see where the aliens were at. I fucking loved that, man.
Yeah, I like that when the difficulty is more complicated than there's just enemies aim less better. And stuff like that, like where they add some additional layers to the difficulty settings. I think that's always interesting. There's not many that do that, I feel like.
Yeah.
It's just usually, you know, the AI is dumber. That's usually what happens.
Well, that's actually a good transition. Let's actually dive in a little bit further into this whole topic of difficulty and what type of games should have difficulty settings.
Yeah.
Because there's a lot of games out there that have either incredibly smart AI.
Right.
Or AI where you can literally just plant yourself at the end of a hallway with your gun facing out there just going, well, as soon as a head just pops by, this will be it. Brap-a-pap, brap-a-pap, I win.
Destiny.
Yeah.
Destiny should have a difficulty setting?
No.
Okay. Oh, okay.
Well,
oh,
it does have a difficulty setting.
That's what you do.
Yeah.
That's what happens.
Well, it's interesting to me thinking about, before we get into that conversation, like the ones that do and don't, because I mean, you look at Call of Duty and all these shooter games, 9 times out of 10 they're going to have a difficulty setting of some kind.
Yep.
Like Wolfenstein and stuff like that, they have that. But then
easy
like
mode.
Rockstar doesn't
veteran
put
mode.
Difficulty, which I think is interesting. Like Grand Theft Auto doesn't have a difficulty setting. Red Dead Redemption doesn't have a difficulty setting. And that's just something that's like a staple in their games that they don't put difficulty in there.
Right.
And those are games that I typically would expect to see difficulty in them, but they don't. But I've never felt like those games are too hard.
Yeah, I agree with that.
Which is good.
Yeah. Well, I think the difficulty setting in games like those, especially in like any kind of sandbox game, the difficulty is set by the player. Because in a game like Grand Theft Auto or in a game like Infamous, even like you can go and engage as many enemies as you want, right? The world is your oyster. So if you want to go and get 5 stars immediately,
yeah,
by all means, kill a cop, steal a car, take a helicopter, awesome, 5 stars. You got the army after you, motherfucker.
Yeah.
While other games, obviously, you have it's in the setting. You can start Wolfenstein on little tiny babby mode, in which case all the demons are basically going to be knocked over by wet noodles.
Yeah. I guess that's true, because if you look at, gosh, I just lost it. I had it in my head. There's a game that's just like that. Oh, Dishonored.
Oh,
so
yeah.
Dishonored is that way where I don't, there might be a difficulty setting in there. I think there might be actually.
I think
but
there
it's
is,
also
but I also
set. By the environment, like you
by
can,
the environment.
You can
go
in there and
guns
just
blazing,
go crazy,
kill everyone.
Yeah,
we can sneak in.
Yeah, or like even Far Cry is that way. You know,
so
you
with,
can,
with those kind of games, I feel like there is kind of a set mode. Like I think at least the games I play like that, like developers have a set. Like this is the most opportune way to actually play the game.
Right.
But here, if you want to do this, you can do it. Or here, if you want to do this, it's available.
You think Bethesda kind of follows that module as well with the Skyrim series?
Oh yeah.
Fallout,
no, those are their, yeah, it, you go anyway, not with it, but with Dishonored I feel like there is like a set one to actually, yeah, do that.
That's fair.
Skyrim's just so open.
I mean yeah
okay, you could be the knight, you know, and have all the big armor and blow through that game in like no time.
Absolutely. Kill 2 dragons, dragon armor, done.
But that's what you're doing, bro.
Dragon armor.
So basically, I think what we've kind of accomplished here is that games that should have difficulty settings are games that are fairly linear in their structure or planned in their structure, kind of, whereas these more open choice-based games, the difficulty is determined by player choice.
The player can set the pace of the difficulty based on their play style of the said open world.
Right.
And I think other games that need to have a difficulty setting are ones that we need to like really address. No offense to anybody in the indie game world at all or the indie developer community, but that one is one that I feel like we are missing a difficulty setting. And I'm going to use this example, Fury. That was one of the free-to-play download games for
so
the PlayStation
hard.
4. Huh?
So hard.
I love it, though.
Oh, I know you do.
I mean, I know
so
I
hard.
But I can see how people would be like, can we get an easy mode, please? Because I can't get past the first boss. I made it all the way through even to the secret boss at the very end. And I myself was like, dude, I did this one not even out of a sense of fun or accomplishment. I just did it because I was stubborn. I was like, you're not going to fucking beat me, game. You are not.
He's that kind of gamer.
Dude, it was bad. I got real mad. I got real mad at you, Fury.
It was a dark night. Whiskey in your
bad.
Hand.
Oh, it was bad. Oh, it was real bad. I'll
get you forever.
Were you Sorry, furious?
You. Move on to your next talking point before I bash you in the head with this Yeti. That's your difficulty setting.
So what kind of games should let a player fail? Let's talk about that for a little bit. Let's address the what is it? The whale in the room? What's that phrase?
The elephant?
The elephant.
Let's address the whale in the room.
It's also big.
Okay.
Okay.
Yes, let's address the elephant in the room. The
by
obvious
not,
choice.
Wait, but okay. By not addressing it. So let's talk about something else.
The obvious choice nice. For when you should let a player fail is games that come from Software.
But demons, why?
Demon I'm Souls, curious. Dark Souls, and Bloodborne. The reason is it, at least from this kind of game's standpoint, this is the kind of game where you have heard me say the phrase, it is difficult but fair. But what does that mean? So
it means it's a piece of shit.
Don't be mad because you can't fucking play it.
Travis would agree with you.
He can't fucking play it either because they don't listen to anything that I say. I'm literally telling you how to play it. You're just like, oh, fuck you. I know what I'm doing. I'm a veteran gamer.
I just got to parry this guy. But the boss is over there, Brett. But I gotta practice parry.
Where's your veteran gamer card? I'm tearing it up.
Tearing it up. Games like this, games like Dark Souls, yes, they're extremely difficult. But they are also fair because you're given a small amount of tutorial at the beginning. So you get to see like all your basic controls. The game doesn't punish you for doing poorly. It invites you to do better by learning.
Don't you wish school did that?
You didn't get an F. I just gave you another chance to get an A. Or in my case, D, which is for diploma. And that's good enough for me.
When you put it that way, teacher, I'll be back tomorrow.
But do you understand my point, though? Like that?
Yeah.
Dark Souls is a hard game. I know you didn't like it. But at the same time, it invited you to learn from your mistakes. You chose not to listen.
So
I listen.
After you introduced me to
just
this.
Didn't retain.
Yeah, you actually had a good revelation
franchise.
When playing Bloodborne.
Yes, yeah. All I do is watch you once, and I got it.
Yeah.
Mostly, and then I figured out the rest. Anyway.
Oh, yeah, me too.
But like games like Kingdom New Lands is just like that.
Yeah.
Like, they're like, hey, you're on this island. Hey, you're a king, you're a queen. Hey, here's money. Good luck. Do it. So, like, I had played that game, like, 5 times before I really got into the groove of, like, oh, I get it now. Like, mm-hmm. do this. This is how I get money. And it's like, okay. All right. I like this. I really do. Before Dark Souls? No.
And that's the kind of things that I love about games like this. And there's a lot of them that you can even kind of correlate to. Even some of the Final Fantasy franchises that have done this, where they don't have a difficulty setting, but rather than make it a difficulty setting, they teach the player through unique ways of how to learn how to play the game, how to play their game.
Right.
Perfect example. Project Octopath Traveler. What a way to learn a new combat system and to show you all the different unique ways that you can break down an enemy's defense and then hurt him with an amazing attack that you use to save up your boost and then time out your buff and attacks. And that was fucking brilliant to me. All of that had to be learned. All of that took me numerous times of seeing a game over screen going, I need to do that differently.
Yeah.
I need to do that a lot differently.
So would you say that we've kind of gotten too whiny as gamers? That we're trying to get these people to cater to us so much that, you know, before I played Bloodborne, I didn't realize how amazing it was to win something so difficult like I did as a child. But now I expect, like, oh, Call of Duty, Halo, any kind of game, Battlefront, Battlefield. I'm going to pick up this controller. Bam, I got it.
Yeah.
A few matches.
I'm going to fast track my way to the end.
Right. A few matches. I got this. I'm going to be really badass in multiplayer.
Yeah.
Like, I don't have to think about it.
Hell, right. Dark Souls will introduce you to great, cool, really amazing fucking weapons the entire time you're playing it. All of them start at level 1. You have to level up those weapons in order for them to be good.
Right.
And you have to learn how to use those weapons. You're not going to get to the end just because you're playing it. Period.
Wow.
So are we whiny gamers now? Like, what has our generations become?
I don't want to say we become whiny. I would say that we are being conditioned in different ways now. The industry is just this huge swirling pool right now of all these different genres. Yeah, we have walking simulators and definitely these narrative storytellings, softer role-playing games as opposed to like some really difficult role-playing games. There's just a myriad out there, and we just have to openly identify what they are because they're going to have different difficulties in them. One I'm kind of interested of is the new Xbox title that's going to come out next year, Anthem. is everybody just going to be a giant powerhouse and power armor walking around and shooting power missiles into power monster faces? Or
looks like that.
It yeah. looks like that. So I don't necessarily know if that's going to make it a difficult game.
Right.
But I know right. that it may not. While it may not be a difficult game, maybe it's still going to be a very cool, fun multiplayer narrative experience.
Right.
And I shouldn't expect difficulty there.
Until you do a dungeon or raid something.
Right. While as opposed to playing Darkest Dungeon for the first time, I had to walk in knowing I'm going to die a lot. My heroes are going to die a lot. And they did.
That's true. Sounds miserable.
You don't look like you like that at all.
No. No.
Why don't you like difficult games?
He's a casual gamer.
Yeah, well,
I mean, you don't have a lot of time, so you kind of want to get...
I think that's what it is.
You want to get your kicks.
I want that sense of progression happening in the short amount of time that I have to play this game.
So if Destiny I'm not was getting made that... Destiny 2.
It kind of is that way a little bit.
It really
yeah,
is.
Yeah, it's like, hey, I got some new armor. Oh, I got two more power level numbers
right,
here.
Right.
It's, yeah. Yeah, that helps a lot. But I think that's what it is that with the short amount of time that's available, I want to feel like I've accomplished something in this game. And if I'm sitting there and spending those 2 hours playing the exact same level over and over again, and then I beat it, yes, I accomplished something, but I made like 2% progress in the actual game itself.
So for you feel like you wasted all that time?
Yes. I hate it.
Interesting.
I hate it.
I love that. Days when I've actually had to come back to a Dark Souls boss or a blood or whatever kind of hard boss, any of them really. Hell, this is gonna really not be a good thing for me to brag about, but I'm gonna brag about it anyways. So the Dark Souls 3 on the hardest setting, the boss Ares took me almost 2 weeks to beat.
Okay.
I almost failed a class in college because I did not attend enough. Shut up. And while difficult, by the time I beat him, was like the most euphoric wave of just absolute victory. Being just like, I woke up every one of my roommates just like, I fucking did it!
Forget that diploma I just got. I just beat fucking Ares.
I have a BFA. Get off me.
So that just sounded like Cartman when he went to Casa Bonita. He's like, sopapillas.
Yeah, I mean, pretty much. That was
Are
my
you done? Yes.
Beating him was my sopapilla. Hades. Beating Hades. That's who it was. Hades. Beating Hades on God of War 3 on the hardest setting was absolutely
You don't remember
awful.
His name and you spent all that time.
Same thing. Almost, Ares, Hades.
Wow. Wow.
They're pretty good.
That's crazy.
They hate everything.
Crazy. Anyway, I think we need to close this out.
Yeah.
Because that was discussion about video game difficulty, and that was pretty good. And we need to wrap up this podcast so people can go about their day and do other things.
Let's do it.
Go play hard games themselves.
Go play hard games themselves. So that is going to conclude our discussion topic this week. If there is something that you want to hear us talk about, please let us know at hello@theinnergamer.net. Also, don't forget to check out our live recording of this segment every Thursday. Sorry. I'm thinking we're podcasts, but this is something else.
Brain injury.
This is his difficulty.
This is my difficulty.
This is his difficulty.
Reading is challenging.
Yeah.
Reading is challenging.
Turn it down a little bit.
What?
Turn it down a little bit.
Turn what down?
Difficulty.
Damn. I don't know what that dial is.
Don't
forget Mark's dial.
It is.
Large, awkward dial.
I went from like mega expert to like sorry.
Absolutely not.
Anyway.
Don't forget to check out our live recording of this segment. I'm sorry that you have to watch this thing, but it's on Thursday, youtube.com/theinnergamer.
You're listening to The Inner Gamer.
Looking forward to next week. Let's talk about our upcoming video game releases.
Woo-hoo!
So today, if you're listening to this podcast, Shadows of War comes out. Yay. So that's cool. The 10th, Shadow of War, Middle Earth, Shadow of War, all that good stuff. On October 13th, which just so happens to be Friday the 13th.
Oh, shit. Ooh,
we have spoopy. On PS4, Xbox One, and PC, The Evil Within 2.
Oh, shit. It's coming out.
Is coming out Friday the 13th
Get
in
ready
October.
For another gory mind fuck.
Yes. What he said. So that's coming out. In addition, we have 3 more games coming out on the 17th, which is the next time you listen to our beautiful voices on this podcast. We have, first up, GT Sport on the PS4, the Gran Turismo next game, which, unfortunately, I feel like this is not getting well-respected because this year we had Forza Motorsport 7, we had Project Cars 2,
yeah.
and we had Dirt 4, and there's probably other things
games.
I'm missing. Yeah, I know. I haven't played any of them, so I'm going to like get caught up. It's going
to
be awesome.
We have to depend on you. You're the racing game expert.
I know.
This is your wheelhouse.
Crazy.
This year,
what the hell, Brett?
This yeah. is
you dropping the ball, editor in chief.
Oh my God.
And that's
I'm
what he wants
so
to get caught up on this year. This year.
Of all the games that he's missed.
The yeah. Switch comes out, and you want to get caught up with racing games.
I got to get GT. Right.
Well, you guys all suck. Have you guys heard of a game called Elex? E-L-E-X.
Negative Ghost Rider.
Okay. So Elex is a game coming out on PC, PS4, and Xbox One. It's also coming out on the 17th. And it is a handcrafted action role-playing experience from the award-winning creators of the Gothic series. Set in a brand new post-apocalyptic science fantasy universe, puts players into a huge, seamless game world full of original characters, mutated creatures like Devin, deep moral choices, and powerful action.
Oh, it's so funny. Keep reading, fuckboy.
No, that's it. This is a new game. It's a... kind of unknown, actually. It's published by THQ Nordic, developed by Piranha Bytes. And it looks kind of cool, but I don't know much about it beyond that, other than, obviously, like we said, it's an action role-playing game. But it's got some pretty graphics, and it's a single-player game, so it's coming out on the 17th. But that's not the most important thing.
Oh, man.
We got a big one.
Oh, man.
The thing you've all been waiting for.
Oh, shit.
The moment.
Oh, here it goes.
Of everything you've
oh,
all
hold
been
your
waiting
seats.
For.
Hold
October 17th on the PS4, Xbox One, and PC. Get ready to hold your pants together, folks. We have South Park, The Fractured Butthole.
Thank God this game
is finally
here.
I showed my girlfriend the trailer, and she was like, oh, this looks like a great episode. I was like, no, it's a game.
Oh, this is a video
And I told her the story behind the butthole, and she was like, that's genius.
It is.
So good. It's just so good.
Yeah.
It's amazing. So that's finally here. That's like literally a week from now.
Oh my gosh.
Can you believe that?
But Shadow War.
I don't give a shit about
and
Shadow
Evil
War.
Within.
Evil Within is going to be a next South year Park. Game. Sadly. South Park, I don't know what I'm going to do with that.
So what are you guys going to do with yourselves next week?
Man.
Bearing up, man. Closing that door, locking it up. I'm going to get my Cheetos in the right. I'm going to get my beer in the left. I'm going to have a shit bucket behind me. Good to go.
Wow. Well,
thanks,
you
South Park.
Austin. Shit Bucket is on his list.
Ma'am.
I am not sure. I might get Shadows of War. I really did enjoy the first. The first one. So
yeah,
we'll see. We'll see. I may hold off. I may just get Fractured Butthole.
Oh, I'm totally getting Fractured Butthole. I'm
gonna
play the shit out of that game.
You can't go wrong either way.
You can't go wrong with a Fractured Butthole.
No. Can't.
But
I mean
really, when you think about it, I mean, when you weigh it from one hand to another, a fractured butthole just feels really nice.
And then, you know, once you start grinding on that old man in the strip club, like,
see, I was going really subtle and you just fucking dove in. You monster. Do the outro.
Yeah.
So just close it up.
Fresh is
close
like,
it up.
Look, shit.
Yeah.
So that's going to wrap up our show this week. Be sure and check us out next Tuesday, as I'm sure you really want to.
They're all gone. They're all leaving.
All the subscribers just tanked.
Mass exodus.
For more from your favorite video game podcast.
If you stuck around this long,
oh my God, bless you. Bless you.
Visit TheInnerGamer.net for our latest episodes, blogs, videos, and social channels. If you like what you hear, please leave us a review or tell a friend.
We also have a Patreon, which is a way for you to give us money to do this shit more often. But it is a way for you, our listeners, to donate to the cause in order to bring you all the great content you want to see and hear. Plus, if you do support us on Patreon, we do have some awesome rewards for those who subscribe to us, such as exclusive content that only you get to enjoy, maybe being a guest on the podcast, playing some video games with us online, or even joining us for a session of Dungeons & Dragons. So please head over to theinnergamer.net and click donate to contribute. And that's going to wrap us up. My name is Devin Dury.
I'm Austin Morales.
And I'm Bray Yanosky.
And you've listened to
The Inner Gamer! Oh,